What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Daddy, you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ shot city six rings. D-Rose too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on whack. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty, Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners, we got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth, Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose. And we won, man. We won. We beat Joel Embiid. Fuck Joel Embiid. I'm just kidding. Oh, I can't see. I can't swear. I just had off a meeting saying I can't. Shouldn't swear as much. And I did. I don't care because we beat Joel Embiid. Finally.
Put it in the swear jar.
I will. I'll put it in the swear jar. Buys ice cream for the kids in the summer. Bulls win 109-105 over the Philadelphia 76ers. Before we get into this one, be sure going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap and on Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Goose on Tap and me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. If you are on Twitter, please go over to the YouTube on Tap Sportsnet YouTube. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the little bell. Anytime we go live, it notifies you or something on your phone, which is really cool. It's automatic. So go check that out. We're presented by Sports Illustrated Media Group. Goose, 109-105. This is a third win in a row for the Bulls. We're streaking. Pickle juice is not dead.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, we did say that if they made the play-in that we had to do that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did say that. If they make the play-in, I got to drink fucking pickle juice. Yeah.
There was that very bleak moment after the Indy and Sacramento games where I just really – I didn't think that was going to happen still. So – No, I mean, we are most definitely streaking. We both kind of took the weekend off here, anticipating not what happened. Probably the wrong weekend off with what the Bulls pulled off. Two extended overtime games, one in Minnesota Friday night. Obviously took on Miami and handled Jimmy Butler pretty well on Saturday. And then tonight you end up in another double OT game with the Philadelphia 76ers. And as you said, the Bulls managed to beat Joel Embiid for the first time. Looking at this score, if you didn't open the box score itself, you would not assume that this game went to double overtime.
Absolutely not.
Because you might have assumed they played like three quarters.
This was some old school shit, brother.
Very much so. And it was the 40th anniversary night for the Philadelphia 76ers championship team. So they were having a big old ceremony. They were on a big streak. And the Bulls once again played streak busters and kept their own streak alive. This was, I don't know, are the Pat Bev Bulls really different? As he would like to point out, we should be like 9-2 or 10-2 instead of losses since acquiring him.
He's been a vibe since he got here. And there's one thing I'm never going to hate on, and that's confidence. And even if Patrick Beverley isn't like the most talented dude on the court or whatever,
he shoots three-pointers with two hands above his head in the clutch.
Makes people believe they can win these ball games, and he's got a winning record since he's been here, man. So I'm all about
that. To that point you just touched on, he makes people believe Zach bringing the ball down for that last possession.
Wow, you went right into that. I was livid.
I'm talking the possession before where Zach did the good thing.
Oh, okay.
The possession before the near catastrophe.
Right.
You had Pat Bev kind of have a little bit of a word with Zach in the backcourt as he brought the ball up, instilling that confidence before that play. And we had good things happen. The play that I guess we do have to get into now would be the very awkward no call of DeAnthony Melton, like flying halfway across the floor. And then getting up off the floor and Zach not assuming he was going to do that and just stealing the ball in probably the most clutch moment at that point of the game. There was a lot of clutch moments in a double overtime game, but
right. That
moment there felt the worst to me in a game that was already extremely sloppy for both teams.
I want your honest to God opinion on that. When Melt went flying, this is the problem with a big problem with the NBA. You don't know what the fuck's a foul anymore and what's not. And I'm serious. It's almost like you can almost equate it to like some NFL type shit. Like what's a flag, what's not a flag, because was a clear foul to me. He bodied him. He put
especially
his body
because out. The Bulls are in the bonus. And
that's in the backcourt.
Exactly. And he's not squared up. He's running into Zach. Like, they're running into each other for the sake of an argument, you know.
Okay. Right. But
you watch offensive players initiate contact all game.
Right.
And you have that moment. Like, how is that not? There has to be a call there. Defensive, offensive, there's a call to be made. And situationally, there's just no whistle because you're under a minute left and the other team's in the bonus. And it's all the more reason why Zach should have just been taking free throws instead of getting pickpocketed 2 seconds later.
I was pissed when Zach got that ball ripped from him. But when you take a step back and you look at it, like, I think he was thrown off because, like, oh, shit. Like, are they going to call this? Like, is it like a waiting to see if it goes in type deal? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they
not supposed to shoot this?
Yeah, they're trying to let this flag fly or what? Like, I thought that was... It just shows you the problem with NBA officiating, and that's why you've seen a lot more call-outs of it this year from players and coaches.
Same tone for Joel Embiid to foul out with the sixth foul on that foul on Zach.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was something.
There was something there. I don't think it was enough to warrant it. I agree with you.
In that moment, I don't think that warranted taking Joel Embiid out of that game. If you're going to make situational calls, I don't know how you foul Joel Embiid out there. Granted, it worked to our benefit. I'm happy about it. We need these wins, unless you want to still be in the lottery, which we do. But I just don't – the discrepancies in the calls really has to be cleaned up, and I don't know what the NBA can do to do it because you've already had LeBron James – call out the officials, and there's nobody's word that carries more weight in the league.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Even at this stage of his career. So if him calling out officiating to the point that he has this season didn't change anything, I don't know if there's really any hope for it. And unlike baseball, it's not as simple as going robot umpire.
Oh, I think that kind of goes hand in hand when you leave a season, right? When you leave the season behind, they're going to go into the offseason. I think they're going to really evaluate a lot of things. If you look across the NBA, you've had Jaylen Brown. I mean, we're just going to note out some notable players. You've had Jaylen Brown this year. You've had LeBron James this year. You've had Anthony Davis this year. You've had Fred VanVleet this year. You've had Chris Paul this year. You've had a lot of players that carry weight within their names outside of LeBron James complain about officiating and not care about the fines that are coming through. I mean, at this point in time, I think there's smoke where there or there's fire where there's smoke here. Like you're seeing this. Like
I think there has to be some kind of rule put in place for
counts. There has to be. They have to be held
or games lost for officials the same way that it is held to players.
100%. Like there has to be. Like I'm not saying suspend an official. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, if you fuck up enough times and you're getting caught in these last 2 minute reports screwing up, then maybe you should be suspended or something like that or a game. I don't know how they do that logistically. I don't know how it looks. But there needs to be something there.
Because if you're taking their full paycheck and expecting them to still ref, it's like, why am I going to show up?
Well, right, 100%. Yeah, you can't do that. But I know Zach brings this upon himself a lot of the time, so like it's hard to use this as a concrete example because he's typically looking for calls. You and I could both admit that. He's typically looking for calls anytime he's touched. But tonight, it literally threw him off so much. he turned the ball over like that because he was like, is that a foul or not? So
there's an awkward silence in a stadium of 20,000 people in a double overtime in one of the most crucial moments of the game. The whole broadcast went silent. Everybody's going, no stop of play? Okay, I guess we'll continue. And then Zach gets stripped, and obviously – without Embiid, Billy made a lot of good calls in these extra periods. One putting Pat in when he did to kind of slow Maxie when he started getting off. And then the call for DJJ To be in there for that defensive possession for arguably the biggest play of the game.
That was absolutely massive that he decided to go that route, and that really paid off. So I want people that fucking hate on Billy to give him some flowers here and don't say, oh, it's later in the season. I'm sure the Billy's the reason why Zach turned the ball over earlier, right, or any of that shit. Billy deserves flowers for that. What Billy does not deserve flowers for, bro, when they were going in for that last shot, you know, to win this fucking game, 5 seconds left, and they're on the bench, man, and they're talking. Like, and I mean, I see Zach, he's pointing here. DeMar's like, yeah, I got you. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, damn, oh my God. I'm thinking something has changed.
Something's different is going to happen this time.
Something's going to happen. So they either mind me or something. I don't know what it is. And we come out to a contested DeMar DeRozan three-pointer. And I go, what were you talking about? Were you going out to eat after? Like, what is this? And that's why Billy, have you not learned anything? I don't care that DeMar DeRozan's been taking threes his last couple of games. We have a whole career sample size to tell you that's not his game.
Well, and the ones that he took tonight ended up being twos.
How wild is that? I just, that blew me away. But I don't want to get too much into that because we've talked about that ad nauseum.
The same point ad nauseum, is it because Billy cannot trust Zach in those moments because he so often does just
dumb shit like the ball turnover in overtime when he's bringing the ball up the floor or taking a two when you need a three? Yeah, so, I could see that, but oh my God, dude,
at a certain point, you have to start trusting other people than DeMar because everybody in the stands, everybody at home, everybody on the actual court playing the game knows where that ball is going.
Right,
it's at the 3-point line in the post. It doesn't matter. They know where it's going.
Right. I don't understand.
And in a certain point, you have to use that as the misdirection for somebody else.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I don't know. They think we're doing the misdirection this time, DeMar. You're doing it again.
Couple game balls that I want to give out or at least give credit to is definitely we touched on DJJ, him coming in having a huge impact off of the bench tonight. He had 10 points, 3 boards, 1 assist, 1 block, and it was the most crucial block of the game in the second overtime on James Harden, who played a terrible, terrible game tonight. James Harden looked horrible, 2 for 14 from the field. He had 5 points, 12 assists, 7 boards, 5 turnovers. He had a rough time out there tonight.
That's the kind of performance that changes the argument for Joel Embiid's MVP season.
It really does. Embiid's just a beast. But I don't like this about him, and I'll tell you what it is. I don't like how I can't blame him for it. I don't like it. I don't like how he uses his body on that fast break. I mean, he knows he's a wrecking ball. And I thought, like Chai Sports Fan has it in our comment, I thought he fucking killed Kobe.
I did not expect Kobe to return to this game. When they showed the replay in slow motion, the elbow that he ripped into Kobe.
I know, because I didn't see that live. I didn't see that real time. I mean, I saw it live, but you know what I'm saying? I didn't see it real time. You know, like, dude. So when they slowed it down, I'm like, God damn, like you Mike Allstott in him. Remember Mike Allstott? If the younger generation doesn't know who that is, look him up. He was a fullback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But he fullbacked them, dude.
Truck sticked the shit out of Kobe, and I didn't expect him to get up.
He did, man. Kobe's won my heart over this year. I know it's been a weird year for him, but it's just the honest God truth. He's put his body on the line. He's accepted his role. He's tried putting it all together to be the complete player, and I know that he does. Unfortunately, offensively, has not. Who would have thought we'd be saying this 2 years ago? Offense has not caught up to his defense yet consistently enough, but I got to give him fucking props, man. He did a good job defensively tonight. He put his body on the line. He had a couple nice shots. I thoroughly enjoyed watching him play tonight. I thought he did a good job as well as P-Bev. And you know what? Pat had a shitty offensive game, but he was often tasked with being on that perimeter and he was trying to guard these. This is a fucking major playoff. He was a second seeded team in the Eastern Conference. Everybody played a role. They played good enough defense to keep this fucking team down. They played nitty-gritty, tough basketball, and the Bulls come out with the W here, and I'm proud of them. I swear to God, it's like one of my first victories we've seen in a minute that I'm like, you know what? I'm proud of you for that. That was hard-fought shit.
I mean, this Obviously, the Minnesota game, a little bit with an asterisk, obviously.
Well, I mean, Gobert goes out. Anthony Edwards gets hurt. You know, I thought they should have fucked them up.
And right. So that game aside, to go against Miami, who's kind of struggling, but still a good team, to handle that win the way that you did, and then obviously as sloppy as this game was, but to grit it out, grind it out, and get this win when you need it, especially because from what I read, Indy lost tonight as well. Get a little extra cushion from them because this schedule isn't getting easier. We play Philly again on Wednesday. Then we have Portland, Lakers, Clippers, Lakers. You know, we touched on it the last show. You only have two easy games left this year, and that's Charlotte and Detroit, the last game of the year.
Yeah, so all these other teams are going to be starting to fight. Obviously, Portland, I think, is done. Even Damian Lillard said that he doesn't think they can get to a 10th seed, and they don't know if they're going to shut him down or not. We'll see what happens. I mean, because that's not too far away. It's next Friday. So, this Friday, I'm sorry.
Put the nail in our own coffin on getting their draft pick this year.
Oh, what a – man, ain't that a bitch?
Yep.
That sucks.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, that's
yeah,
that blows.
Yeah, a little bit.
Didn't think about that, but then you know you got Memphis is getting Ja back on Wednesday, and you know we'll see them in a couple weeks on April 2nd.
They've been playing well without him, which they've done pretty consistently.
Yeah, they've always kind of done that. So like you said, Charlotte, Detroit, everybody else is fighting for seeding, fighting for playoff spot. This is tough. These next games are tough.
And the Bulls brought a playoff mentality, even though it was sloppy as hell. It was a really fun watch. What also kind of made me feel good watching this game was the Bulls don't have the worst max player in the league because Tobias Harris is still out there. Not a bad player, just definitely not a max player. And you saw that to close this game. Bulls had guys that they could go to. Once Embiid went out, Sixers had a little bit of a burst. DeAnthony Melton was draining threes. To close this game, third quarter on out. I believe he hit three alone in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
So they had some guys taking shots and stepping up. Maxey is a hell of a player. But Harden's kind of non-existence was also fun to watch.
I like to watch.
I dislike Harden so much, but I do.
I don't like him. I don't fucking like him. I don't like him either. But, hey, can I interrupt the basketball talk for 1 minute? I cannot believe you called me a little fuck in the comment section for you could have just
got to put another dollar in the swear jar.
Jerk. You see what you're doing, dick? Hey guys, is it pickle juice? No, it's not pickle juice until they make the play-in. There's still a chance they don't. I've extended it, but they've let me down every time we've gotten close. So I felt like this was a definitely deciding factor. They get in, I drink the damn zesty pickle juice. Okay. I love this guy. And you know what, Brian, our video guy, just told me about this too to do the local recording, and I didn't do it this episode yet. Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. At least that this wasn't very compelling conversation about pickle juice and me calling Chai Sports Fan a dick. I love you too, Chai Sports Fan. You're my guy. But yes, so I like watching James Harden struggle as well because I don't like him, and I really do think he's going back to Houston. So
you think he's going to go? How does that even work with the guys that they have over there? They'll trade
Kevin Porter or something like that.
But even Jalen Green, that just seems so damn redundant. Like, we thought DeMar and Zach could potentially be a bad fit, and we've seen the wrinkles where it has been a bad fit at times. I guess both those guys can shoot threes, so maybe it's an easier fit. But at this stage of James Harden's career, I can't imagine giving him a fat contract like he's looking for.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, and I don't think he's going to get a fat contract. His name alone cannot carry him. At least in my opinion, it can't. I don't really have much else for this game in general. It was fun. I'm glad the Bulls are winners of three in a row because we don't get to see it very often, so I'll take it. And
beating Joel Embiid for the first time is another a banner we get to hang.
Yeah, we're going
to
hang a banner at the United Center.
Participation trophies this year.
He was 12-0 against us, averaging about 29 points a game. It was like 13 boards and like 4 assists on like 54% shooting from the field and like 36% from downtown. He kicks our ass constantly. So the fact that we were able to get a win against him, and Vooch played a good game, 8-for-12 for Vooch, 1-for-2 from downtown. He had 21-12, had 4 steals, 2 assists for Vooch, main. DeRozan, 10-for-22 tonight, 25 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals. Zach LaVine, 8-for-20 from the field, 2-for-9 from downtown. He went 8-for-10 from the free throw line. He had 26.7 assists, two boards, three steals, one block. So, the big three finished plus minus today.
And they all had 20 plus. Zach's 2 for 9 was a little concerning. I guess the last thing I kind of want to touch on about this game is DeMar's hesitancy in a couple spots tonight. You had the drive where he kicks it out to Zach for the three, where he kind of had the clear look. Obviously, Zach's shot goes halfway down and comes out. Had a couple
rimmed out there.
Wide open mid-range looks that he had in the clutch that he passed out of.
He's got a lot of miles and minutes on him right now. He might be overthinking him. In the last three games for him, you saw that statistic they put up. I mean, he's been played the most minutes on anybody. Besides tonight, he had 45. Zach had 47. But DeMar has gotten some minutes in these last three games. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but I do feel like the team has been deferring to Zach more lately.
Okay. So you think it's just in the air of share the love, it's not all on me kind of thing?
I think it has like at least a little bit to do with that. A little bit.
As long as he doesn't kick out of an open midi to pass to Pat Bev again, I won't bring it up again.
You would have marked the fuck out if Pat Bev made that. You talking about that three?
Yeah. He made that overhand chucker from about 4 feet behind the line. Yeah, I would have went buck wild. But he didn't.
I wanted it so bad because I like Pat Bev, man. Oh, I do. Man,
trust me. Anytime he gets the ball through, I hesitate to say shoot, but because he hit those four in a row the other night, I want him to shoot, and then it's just like, but I gotta
remember. You know me. Every time he catches, anytime I could be fucking Felicio over there in the corner. I'd be like, shoot it. You know, you're wide open. Shoot that shit. No,
I guess I kind of underestimate the energy factor that you get out of Pat Bev when he actually makes the 3-point shot. He'll start yelling at everybody in the stadium, and that just brings the whole team alive. So I guess what? I don't care if he's open, he's covered, chuck that three just on the 30% chance that it might go in. It's probably going to be worth it. Just not in the clutch, please.
I just really wish he would have made that. 2 for 10 for Pat Bev tonight, but the two shots he made, threes. So it would have been a storybook ending on that one.
Said, we really discount Lonzo. Just take threes and keep connecting the plays.
Discount Lonzo, you're cold for that. We really don't need to preview the next opponent because it's the same damn opponent. We are playing the Sixers again Wednesday night at the United Center. Listen, man, I don't think they're going to play. You're not going to get a bad night from like out of the Harden like that again. Or I think Maxey. I think that those guys cleaned it up a little bit.
I mean, I guess the numbers say that Harden plays better in towns with good clubs, and Chicago's obviously got some good clubs, so we might be in trouble there. But there's always the chance that he has a little bit too much fun at the club. So, you know, I'll keep my fingers crossed for that one. But we touched on Zoe. Successful surgery today. Apparently the first surgery ever of this kind.
See, Casey Johnson said a similar surgery happened with Festus Ezeli, and he never came back. He remembered to back up big for Golden State for a while.
On the Philly broadcast, they proclaimed that it was the first ever procedure of this specific
name. I have not read that. So until I do.
Even just the sound of that scares.
Oh, it sounds terrible. Out. Yeah, it's terrifying.
And the reference to Festus Ezeli obviously doesn't provide much hope. The Bulls have already put what was the exact word that they used? Lonzo has no timetable. They don't expect him back next year. And I guess at this point, putting that on it takes all the pressure out of the situation, unlike they did leading to the playoffs last year, leading to the start of the season this year. They kind of always left it up in the air, you know, about 15, maybe even 5 games in, we were already saying we know he's not coming back this year, but they still kept kind of leading that on.
The other night when I was talking, when Juice was here, we were watching the World Baseball Classic UFC fights. We were talking about Lonzo, you know, watching Bulls game. And when it was rumored that surgery is likely to keep him out all of next year, I mean, we do realize that that's like he's going into his last year of his contract after next year. So, like, he's got another year left after next year.
And that's a player option.
Exactly. Like, I like Lonzo Ball. I liked when he was here, when he was playing. It was fun for the 35 games, whatever. they have to find a way to get the fuck out of this. To free up money, to free up all that. I mean, it's not right, dude. Like, this dude's not playing. And there's an issue here.
At this point, with the tag that they're putting on it now, can the Bulls get a hardship exception?
Well, that's exactly what I was about to bring up. Can they get that? And I don't know if they can. So, I mean, I mean,
if the only other surgery like this resulted in a player never playing again.
Right, which is Festus Ezeli.
That has to be some kind of evidence that.
I mean, you're likening him to Brandon Roy and a backup center that never played again after a similar surgery. I mean, that's an issue. It's an issue. You know, like, I mean, he's sitting on our books and there's nothing we can do about it. Again, I don't want the fucking kid to be out there and have nothing. You know, it's a business, man. You know, and they've dumped a hell of a lot more money and time into him than he has them. You know, and that's an issue. So, I, for his sake, I hope he walks upstairs with no pain. I hope that he can play basketball at a high level again. And I hope it might be here just to try to, you know, something. I just don't see it. Like, this, how everybody's talking about this.
But outside of, like, a hardship exception where I believe he would be paid out still, it just technically comes off the Bulls.
Right, it comes off the Bulls' cap.
Because we don't have firsts to attach to that salary.
Oh, you know, you can't move anywhere. You can't move that. So you cannot move that contract till last year of it. And that's probably at the deadline.
Your only opportunity probably would have been like DeMar DeRozan and Lonzo Ball for Russell Westbrook kind of thing. You know, so I just, it's such a weird situation. And as much as, you know, you just touched on, we both really love Lonzo Ball as a basketball player. We love having him here in Chicago. It's just really hard to see what the future is there and what that means for this team, because you only get, what, 110, 115, 120 mil cap? That dude's taking up a quarter of it.
Right.
And to not have that available and knowing you're not going to have that available, hopefully the Bulls will be able to get that exception, because I really don't know what other way they have out of it with their lack of draft cap.
Yeah, I hope there's a way to get it off of their cap. I want the kid to make, you know, I want him to get his money. He got hurt on the job. So, like, he deserves to get paid 100%. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that I hope the Bulls can find a way to get it off of their shit so they can use that money elsewhere if they can. And I like I said, I've said a million times, I feel so bad for him. But hopefully this surgery works. I mean, he's still young. He's got that going for him. He's still a young man. And hopefully he can figure it out. So, that's all I really have on Zoe. Like, you know, Godspeed. I hope it works out. But yeah, that's really all I got. I don't really have much else. I mean, you know, we've won three in a row, man. We're going to have to drink pickle juice. What a stressful season to end with fucking, I got to drink pickle juice when we're making the first play-in.
Just to be tortured all year and just then the pickle juice has to come too. What the hell is this?
I don't know, man. I don't see, David, I am not watching Japan coming back. They are. I'm not watching it, but after this, I will be. I promise you that, my friend. We should do some watch parties. That'd be fun. Yeah, now I really don't have anything. You got anything else?
Yeah, let's beat Joel Embiid for a second time, and I guess keep
12-2, bitch.
We have not won four games in a row yet this season, so I guess that's one last thing we got to knock off before the season comes to a conclusion. So let's get to it, and I guess keep the shit rolling because it's looking like playing time.
Yeah, it does look like playing time. Well, if any joined us, thank you for joining us. We'll be back Wednesday night after the Bulls take on the Sixers for a second consecutive game. Be sure to go to ontapsportsnet.com for our Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Going to the YouTube, OnTap Sportsnet YouTube channel, hitting the subscribe button. It's a huge help when you guys do that. Please, if you're watching on Facebook or Twitter, go to the YouTube. Subscribe to the OnTap Sportsnet YouTube. Hit the little bell, or don't hit the bell. I don't give a shit. Just sub to it. We're presented by Sports Illustrated Media Group. We'll be back Wednesday after the Bulls take on the Sixers, God willing, for the first time all year, 4-game winning streak. Let's go, Bulls. I'm going to have to drink that fucking pickle.